studying hard on it for the last week or so. And I hope and pray that study is of the Lord and that this effort is of the Lord. Over in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11, we read a proverb that says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." One of my dear friends, Brother Roger Lewis, is a good faithful deacon of Mount Gilead Primitive Baptist Church down outside of Summit, Mississippi. This is one of his absolute favorite verses. He used to always quote it. "Brother Joe, you always remember, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." One time I asked Brother Roger, I said, "Brother Roger, what does this verse mean to you?" He said, "I'm not exactly sure what apples of gold and pictures of silver is, but," he said, "it sure does sound pretty, doesn't it?" I said, "It surely does." And if you came away with just that, that it just did sound pretty, then I'd say you were verily blessed. But I trust that the Lord, I think, has given me some light on this, and it's something that I've needed to apply in my own life, in my own discipleship, my own efforts in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, you must understand something. The growth and the spread of the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just resting upon ministering brethren. You all have a ministry. You all have gifts in the church. And it's imperative for each and every one of us to try to take them and use them to the fullest of our potential. That's not New Age religion. That's old Bible religion. And we need to really focus upon that. I'd like to bring some of those things to your mind as we consider a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. That obviously is talking about the speaking of a word. And that word fitly there, if you look that up, it basically is referring to the concept of the making of a wagon wheel or a chariot wheel. And from what I understand, the method they used to do that is they would bind together circular pieces of wood, and they would expand a piece of metal. They would put it over that tire, and as it would cool, it would draw that wheel together and would draw it together very complex. So that word fitly spoken basically carries with it two ideas, and one of them is something that's tight, something that is tight. And also, that word fitly also carries with it the concept, if you look it up in the concordance, of something that is timely. And so I'd like to look today at some scriptures that teach us about our fitness of our words and also the timeliness of our words. And I think if we look at that word fitly, I don't think it's too hard of a stretch to realize what the apple of gold is. Brothers and sisters, the gold is always used as a metal that is indicative of royalty, of kingship, that which is very rare, that which is very precious. It's very precious to us. We make golden bands out of it to signify our marriages that are without beginning and without end, as it were, that which is unbroken. And it's just a beautiful, precious metal. And this apple of gold, apple just is that which is beautiful. So here we have something that tastes good and something that looks good. And here apparently something, my friends, that is reflective of the words that we speak. And I hold for you today, I believe the apple of gold is talking about the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth of the Word of God. You know, truth was very important to the disciples. People talk about Brother John. Brother John was the apostle of love, and he was. And I'm very thankful for that. Very thankful he was a man who was very loving. But you would be hard-pressed to find a disciple that taught as much about love who also spent so much time declaring truth. And trying to tell his children how important it is that they walk in truth. Because, my friends, you can't separate love from truth. I mean, if you just want to be loving and do it with a lie, you're not really being loving to someone by spreading something that's not an apple of gold. But if I've got apples of gold, I want to share it. Amen? I want to hold it up so that it can be seen. I want it to be appreciated. I want someone to look at it fondly and with great love and adoration. And we've got apples of gold, brothers and sisters, in the Primitive Baptist Church. I'm not saying there aren't people out there who don't know the truth. I'll tell you what, you can find some Sovereign Grace churches that speak basically, you'd be hard-pressed to tell the difference between them and a Primitive Baptist. I'm not saying the Primitive Baptists have the corner on the truth, but I will say this, as far as the measure of truth in doctrine and in practice, I have found no other order that is so lovely and so beautiful as the apple of gold we've been blessed to have, that I've been rocked in a cradle of grace. A lot of people speak about that in a disdainful manner. I'm here to tell you that when the Lord dealt with me, I knew where to go, to the old line Primitive Baptist Church, and to be fed with what I needed when I was spoken to with that still small voice. Now, we have an apple of gold, and we need to rejoice in it, my friends, and we need to hold it up. That's where the picture of silver comes in. What's the picture of silver talking about? Well, I think obviously it's talking about the framework, the backdrop, the setting. Remember that fitly carries with it the connotation of that which is tight and that which is timely. And I'd like to take that and try to look at what the Bible teaches us about the timeliness and the fitliness. Is that even a word? Yes, it is. I just made it up. The fitliness of our speech in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we rejoice in the apple of gold, but my friends, let's focus on that picture of silver, shall we? Let's focus on that apple of gold that has a beautiful, lustrous backdrop, and that we should never forget not only the apple of gold, but also the picture of silver. So go with me to a couple places, if you will. First, I'd like to go over to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, if you'd turn with me, and you might get there before I do. Over in Colossians chapter 4, read verses 4, 5, and 6. And here the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Colossae, and he tells me, verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Which is very easy to understand, that if there's a way we ought to speak, there's also a way we ought not to speak. And I'll leave that for you to chew on. He said that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walking in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. I want to focus, brothers and sisters, on what he's teaching us right here. And I think part of the focus here is on an outward focus. Now, brothers and sisters, we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We rejoice in that. We are told in Galatians chapter 6, as you have therefore opportunity to do good unto all men, especially to them of the household of faith. That means if you've got time and you've got money and you've got energy and you've got intellect and whatever the case may be, you need to seek to do something special first for the house of God. Are you spending more time on the ball field than you are darkening the doors of the church? Then you need to repent and do something special for the house of faith. Are you spending more money liberally on entertainments and frivolities and hobbies than you are in the support of the gospel ministry, in tending to the poor, in tending to the fatherless, and in keeping the utilities running and the carpet clean? If you are, then you need to repent, because we are told in the Word of God, without a shadow of a doubt, that we're to do something special first for the house of God. That does not preclude doing good works outside of the church. That does not preclude giving clothes to those who don't have clothes and stocking soup kitchens for those who don't have enough to eat. Yay and amen. It was a joy for us to do that. But brothers and sisters, don't you ever lose focus that the house of God is special. It's the house of faith, and it's where we need to be focused on. But it's not our only focus, you see. Here he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Now, we don't believe in a mission system, as a lot of people teach. A board that gets together and they appoint where preachers are supposed to go. I know some people that are so enwrapped and involved in the concept of getting the gospel out that they don't appreciate the gospel that should be in. You see, they spend so much time with an outward focus that they do not spend the time that they need to, realizing that there are people living in corn cribs around the corner from them who may need a little comfort and solace in the Word of God. So we don't want to spend all of our time looking without. But brothers and sisters, we believe that it is a focus that we ought to look to look without. And we're to walk worthy among those that are without. Notice what he said, redeeming the time. Now, what does that mean to redeem the time? Now, when we're talking about redeeming the time of someone who's outside of the church, we desire to see them come inside of the church. So here you've got one, and you're redeeming the time. Now, some people get the idea that the concept of redeeming the time for us to keep that apple of gold in the picture of silver means that picture of silver has got to be completely consumed all the time with talking about the Bible and Jesus Christ and things of that nature. Now, brothers and sisters, I love to think about Jesus Christ, and I love to talk about the Bible. But sometimes redeeming the time is not so much just trying to shove biblical concepts and discussions at people all the time. Maybe it's just sitting there and talking about their grandchildren with them a little while. Maybe a proper redeeming of the time is just spending a little time being friends with that person. Maybe you're going to talk about something that was on television the night before. If it does no damage to the cause of Christ, what harm does it do to have a friendly conversation about things like that? And my friends, let me tell you something. When you have that picture of silver, when you have it to a point, a setting, where people don't mind looking at it, where people feel comfortable with you, and they realize that you have an apple of gold, you spend enough time redeeming the time, you're going to get opportunities to really shine off and show off that apple of gold. Redeeming the time doesn't mean that we have to be hitting people all the time with biblical subjects and only talking about Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, how many of y'all have the mental energy to do that all the time? Maybe Brother Ronnie Loudermilk does, but I can tell you Brother Joe Nettles doesn't. I mean, I get tired of putting so much mental thought. As sweet as the spiritual subjects are, sometimes it gets a little exhausting, doesn't it? Sometimes all you want to do is sit and talk about the weather. Or sometimes all you want to do is just sit with someone else and say, have you been to that all-you-can-eat buffet down there? You know what, my friends? Redeeming the time sometimes just means being friendly. And sometimes it means building trust so that what? You can show them eventually that apple of gold in the picture of silver. Redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer, not just particular men, but every man. Let us remember the picture of silver and how it relates to those people that are without the church. Turn with me, if you will, now over to 2 Timothy. I want to look at another aspect of this over in the book of 2 Timothy. And we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now I realize that Brother Paul was addressing Timothy as a gospel minister. But brothers and sisters, I don't think anybody realistically could say that these concepts don't apply to all of us in general. We're talking about ministry as well as laity. So these concepts refer to all of us, but particularly, especially to the gospel ministry. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he exhorts Timothy and tells him in verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife. That means, I don't want to be ugly, but don't go picking boogers. Okay? Forgive me for common speech. That's just a country way of saying, you know what? Don't go looking for trouble. Don't make no trouble. There won't be no trouble. Now, he said here, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. That means be a battler, a wager of war, argumentative. But he said, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt. That means have an aptitude to teach. Certainly, again, focused on the gospel minister, but also to an extent applicable to all of us. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. What's he telling us here? Now, we read over in Colossians where he was talking about we need to not forsake an outward focus. We need to walk with wisdom toward those that are without, redeeming the time. But now he's telling us that they're going to come in contact with some. And maybe they're very good people, and maybe you have a desire to show them your apple of gold, but they're going to oppose themselves. Now, if somebody says that this oppose themselves means that they're saying doctrines that are in opposition to the Spirit of God within them, I don't argue with that concept. That is a sound concept. But I believe what he's saying here is that you're going to come in contact with people, well-meaning people, good people, God-fearing people, but they're going to be in opposition to your doctrine. They may be in opposition to your practice. Maybe they're very well-meaning. That term oppose themselves, I believe he's referring to those that set themselves in opposition against you. And invariably again, when you talk about this, people say, Titus chapter 3, and heretic after the first and second admonition reject. I'll amen that. That's true. But our problem is we want to just not give very much of an admonition and then just kind of reject. But my friends, we need to be diligent that we show our apple of gold and not forget the picture of silver. He's saying you're going to come in contact with people who oppose themselves. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, one of the best ways to answer someone who opposes themselves to your view of Scripture, do not argue with them. I'm telling you, arguing does no good. Now, we are to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. I don't deny that. But my friends, when we contend, we may get into debates and discussions. But brothers and sisters, arguing won't do any good but make folks mad. I've had to learn that. I grew up around a bunch of people. I'm sure all of us have to an extent. They wanted to skin an Armenian. Or they wanted to do this or do that. Brothers and sisters, I want to be right. Right? I like being right. Because if I'm right, I'm according to the word of truth. But brothers and sisters, we have to stop sometimes and back out of ourselves and see, is my picture of silver what it ought to be? Am I discussing this with a heart for Christ to try to share truth, or am I just wanting to be right? If you're just wanting to be right, then you are wrong. If you're just wanting to be right, then you are wrong. But if you are right in the apple of gold and the picture of silver, if your heart is a heart toward Christ and you want to share that with somebody, don't argue with them. They may get mad at you. But you know what you have to say? You know, people say this is always derogatory, but it's not. You know what you can just say? Bless your heart. I love you. Bless your heart. You know what? We can agree to disagree. I didn't want to make you upset. But I just believe what the Bible says, and this is the way I take it. And I don't want to upset you. I love you, for Christ's sake. You know, it takes a lot of practice and discipline to get to that point. And I'm not there perfectly yet. Y'all see me, I'm brash, you know, loud, brash kind of person. I get excited. But I've had to learn some things. My apple of gold, my friends, needs to be in a picture of silver. And my picture of silver cannot be what it ought to be. It shouldn't have the luster, and it won't have the joy to look upon to house that apple of gold. As long as I am allowing people to suck me into strivings and arguments and discord over doctrinal points, it's not worth it. Back away in love, and maybe again, you'll live to fight, and I use that clearly, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, another day on that subject. People will oppose themselves. But you notice, he said, you are to be faithful to give your side anyway. And the best way that you can, you give your side. Why? Because he said, if God peradventure, and I take great comfort in that. You know, some people believe they have the power of the gospel in them. They can just persuade people to be born again. They can just persuade people to accept the truth. I know a lot of people that hate the doctrine of election. I know a lot of people that get mad because we don't have musical instruments in our church. I know some people, I don't know why, but they get angry over some of the things that we do as if we're trying to be hateful toward them. And it's not so. And if we're acting hateful, then God help us to repent, right? But if it's not so, some people are just going to oppose themselves. But let me tell you something, my friends. Don't you doubt the power of the Holy Spirit to witness the truth to someone. You just be faithful, brothers and sisters, to teach them what you see as the word of truth, and you leave it between them and the Holy Spirit of God, who is able to invade their bed space at night and get up in their soul and spirit and stir in their mind and break their heart and make a little seed of truth sprout into a great tree, my friends. That is just marvelous and gives shade and comfort in their life. You don't know whether the Lord will do that or not. You know what we do? We just do the best we can and say, I got a God of all power. And I just want to live with my apple of gold in my beautiful picture of silver. Just make the point. Don't give it up. Don't forsake it, even if they oppose themselves against you. Go with me, if you will, over to 1 Peter just for a moment. Over in 1 Peter Chapter 2. Now, you may have some people you come across in this life that don't seem to be very well-meaning. Maybe they're not very nice. Maybe they're very carnal. You know, maybe they love, maybe their favorite show is Honey Boo Boo or Lizard Lick Towing or God knows what. You know, bless them. You know, I don't want any of that garbage. That just grieves my heart. But some people, they just sop that stuff up like a biscuit in a plate of gravy. Oh, did you see reality, this, that? Did you see what they did on Big Brother and this, that, and the other? And Living in the Wild Naked or whatever these shows are. God have mercy on our country. Some people just eat that stuff up. And I'm not real comfortable around people like that. But let me tell you something, my friend. By God, I've got an apple of gold and I need to have it in a picture of silver, even for people like that. That wild Gadarean man, nobody would have come on the scene that day and said, I'll tell you, by the end of this day, that stinking man, he lived in the tomb. That man stank. I mean, he must have been a mess. And nobody came on the scene that day when Jesus walked up there and said, Lord, I want you to come deal with this man. He's going to be a great church member. I mean, he is going to be singing Amazing Grace. He's going to be leading singing. He's going to be joyous for the Lord. He's going to serve you. He's going to make the best macaroni and cheese that's ever been put on the dinner table. This man right here is going to be the best disciple. He's going to be wonderful and ready to go and declare your word. Nobody that day would have looked at that man, but I'm here to tell you, by the end of that day, he was clothed, he was in his right mind, and he was seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God's able. Amen. Just give that apple of gold in a picture of silver. Just shine it up and hold it forth and trust the Lord to do his work. Because he says here, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. What's he saying? Live right. Do right. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Not only the way you walk, but also the way you talk. I heard a gospel song not too long ago. It was called a gospel song. It was kind of funny. Let me see if I can remember the words of it. It said, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Now, y'all go figure that out on yourself. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Again, y'all can go diagram that sentence if you want to. But what he's saying is you need to walk worthy. You need to be careful about the steps that you take. You're going to have foot washing this weekend. Let me tell you something. We are to be willing to bow at the feet of one another and help cleanse each other's walk and not get offended. How many of you are going to get offended when somebody bows and washes your feet? If you don't get offended when they bow and wash your feet, you ought not get offended if they come to you in love and say, I'm concerned about you. I'm worried about our church. I'm worried about this in your life because I love you. Walk worthy, my friends. Shine your apple of gold in a beautiful picture of silver. Because he said, have your conversation honest among the Gentiles. What Gentiles are you talking about? The non-converted. I mean, these heathens that lived all around them, giving their daughters to false idols and things of that nature. But what does he say to do? He said, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers. That means these people have not only opposed themselves, they're talking smack about you. They're talking trash about you. They're telling lies about you. How are you supposed to treat them? While they speak against you as evildoers, they may buy your good works. How are you supposed to deal with somebody who hates you? Love them. How are you supposed to deal with somebody who despitefully uses you? Pray for them. You're supposed to do good works. Woo, that's hard, isn't it? That's an easy thing to preach and a hard thing to live. But I can tell you it's a great thing to live when you learn in the Spirit to do it. And just exercise yourself to following up evil with good. Heaping coals of fire upon the heads of those who hate you. Because there are a lot of folks out there that can't stand you and they can't stand your Lord. But don't you take heart at this, my friends. Jesus said, if they hate you, they hated me first. And if you're going to walk as Jesus, that means we have to live like this. He said that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of the visitation. What's the day of the visitation? The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but knoweth not from whence it cometh, neither whither it goeth. So is every one that's born of the Spirit of God. John 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. It's the day of visitation. Saul of Tarsus had a day of visitation on a road to Damascus, my friends. His life was never the same. He got a new heart in Jesus Christ, but he didn't get a new mind. He remembered how people had been afraid of him. He also remembered how people had loved him in spite of himself. Brothers and sisters, there are going to be people out there. They need to be shown the apple of gold. I'm not saying cast your pearls before swine, lest they turn again and rend you. I'm not saying that. There comes a time when enough is enough. But brothers and sisters, make sure you get to that time. Make sure you reach that time. Do the best that you can. Keeping on. Keeping on. Because he said, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king and supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that ye with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. They hate you. They can't stand you. What's the best way to deal with them? And let me get this up out of the church house just a minute. I don't want to be ugly. And he says a lot of things that I agree with politically. But there are men on the radio who would just as soon hear themselves talk as breathe in and out. Okay? El Rushbo and different people like that. Now, brothers and sisters, I may agree politically with what they're saying. But one thing you need to be careful of is they're not speaking in a good and a loving way about other people. I'm not thrilled about the man we have in the White House right now. But I tell you what, I hope and pray that I crave to have the opportunity to fall down before him and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, why in the world would you do the things that you're doing? And God's word, I adjure you, I encourage you to repent, because there's a holy God of glory and he abhors the things that you're supporting, and it's not going to be good for you nor your family. It's going to be destruction. Oh, let me tell you what, there's been times when old Joe's, his nettles gets up in him. I'd just as soon spit at somebody as love them. But you know what I need to be found doing? I can't help that, but I can repent. Amen? We need to repent of that. And understand that we've got an apple of gold, but we cannot forget the picture of silver. And the picture of silver is high maintenance sometimes. The picture of silver needs to be shined. It needs to be tightened. The joints need to be compressed. It needs to be held together. And sometimes that's not easy, but I'm telling you, it's absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. And what's one of the main keys to all of this? Also in 1 Peter, after we've said all this about all these things, brothers and sisters, what it all boils down to is, are you going to be ready? Now, somebody may say, Brother Joe, what do you mean, are we ready? You know, most people, when you ask them, are you ready? They mean, well, have I done everything I'm supposed to do for Jesus to do what he wants to do? Bless them. Again, that's not the truth of God. We know that. But my friends, you do need to be ready. You do need to be ready. We need to be ready for the last day. And not in the sense that they say. But let me tell you something, my friends. Do you want Jesus to come back while you're standing in the line to 50 Shades of Gray? Huh? Is that where you want to be when Christ comes again and shed his blood for you? I tell you, no, no, 1,000 times no. I would much rather be found in the bottom of a cesspit than in the line waiting to see a filthy piece of garbage like that, because my Lord could come back any time. I want to be ready. That means I want to be found trying to please him and honor him, not smiting the servants and getting drunken. I want to serve him because I want to be looking for him. But my friends, also, we need to be ready every day to give an answer to those that ask of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. You need to keep your picture of silver shiny and ready to go. Which means what? Study the word, my friends. Study the word of God. Be ready to give an answer. Those that ask a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, let me tell you something. If the answer was as easy as this, well, Jesus loves me and Jesus loves everybody and Jesus loves little puppies. And, you know, if the answer was just that simple, that doesn't take being ready. That doesn't take being ready. You know what takes being ready? It takes being ready to learn doctrine. It takes being ready to learn that doctrine that the Apostle Paul told Timothy and said, to take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine. For in doing so, you'll save both thyself and them that hear me. There's salvation in the doctrine of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, church. And my friends, if we're going to have an apple of gold and we're going to have the picture of silver, we must learn doctrine. Somebody thinks doctrine's a dirty word. Doctrine is one of the sweetest things, brothers and sisters, that you could ever have upon this word. Doctrine makes the difference between just that shiny, happy feeling of those who received the seed in stony ground, and anon they sprouted up with joy. But when times got hard, they folded like a cheap suit. I'll tell you, just that shiny, happy religion will give you that. But I'm here to tell But you doctrine, my friends, will give you the sensation that we read of over in Hebrews, where he talks about that great high priest, Jesus Christ, as the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and to the joints and to the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what doctrine will do for you? It won't give you just shiny happy. It'll make you feel like the lowest of the low. But my friends, when you feel the lowest of the low, the good news is he's exalted and you see yourself in him. Through the liberty of Christ, you see yourself transformed, my friends, as in a mirror, as in a glass, from glory to glory. That's what doctrine does for you. And I'll tell you, learn the doctrine, live the doctrine, shine it, and keep it ready to always have it there to show forth your apple of gold. You know, we love the truth. My wife, when we got married, she was Roman Catholic. And I will tell you, some of the finest heaven-bound people I've ever known are Roman Catholics. They love the Lord. They may have a skewed sense, according to me, but I can tell you everything I see in them is righteousness and love. They love their fellow man. They love their Lord. They may pray a bead or go into a closet. That's between them and the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, I look to see them in heaven one day, because they hate wickedness and they love righteousness. They hate abortion and they hate sodomy and things of that nature that are abomination to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, my wife was among that people. And I'm here to tell you, when I came under conviction, young preachers, they're just like baby wasps. They're bigger when they first hatch than any other time in their life. And I was going to show her. I'm going to show her. I could show her predestination. I could show her election. I mean, here I was, Banny Rooster, doctrine boy. You know, I had felt like I had the apple of gold, but I had it in no picture of silver. And I drove a wedge and I caused trouble in my family that took 13 years to overcome. She's as hard-shelling old Baptist as you'll ever find right now. But brothers and sisters, it wasn't because of what Joe did. Joe just messed things up. But when she heard many men stand up, holding forth the apple of gold within the picture of silver with love and humility, I'll tell you what, you can't outwork the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God, unbeknownst to me, the day I left here, I was sitting right here with Elder Charles Garrett for a meeting here. This was on Saturday. One of my church people injured their eye, and they had a bad eye, going to have surgery. So we had to leave. You remember that, Brother Ben? We had to leave. Me and Elder Charles Garrett, fine old brother, going to be with the Lord now, from over in Dublin, Georgia. And we left. We were on the way home from this church house. And I told Brother Charles, that Brother Charles, my wife won't ever join the church until her mama dies. Well, brothers and sisters, her mama ain't dead. Her mama not dead. I said, she'll never join the church till her mama died. Brother Charles was like, well, Brother Joel, he said, you just keep loving her and you leave that in the hands of the Lord. I said, well, I've learned that finally over the years, and I am, but I just don't, she's not going to join the church. The next night she joined the church. I can't outdo the Spirit. I can't outdo my Lord. I can't outgive him. And I need to stop hemming and hawing and doubting him. He's able to do things that I can't do and I never would do. But he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. And that excites me, man. That really excites me to have such an apple of gold. And she's holding up that apple of gold, and her picture of silver is much sweeter than mine. And I'm thankful for that. I thank the Lord for it. Brothers and sisters, you can speak the truth, but if you try to take that apple of gold outside the picture of silver, you'll do more damage. You'll do so much damage. There's few people get their feelings hurt worse. There's few people get more offended than by well-meaning people who are undisciplined in their evangelism. And I'm not left out of that. I've said many things that I've regretted. But brothers, just all we can try to do is polish it up one more time and do the best we can. Amen. Just show that apple of gold in that picture of silver. Oh, brothers and sisters, you go over to, you want to know the power of the picture of silver? And I've got to hurry up and close. I know that. But over in Job chapter 19, I want you to look at these beautiful words over in Job chapter 19. Job, now notice this apple of gold. Job 19. Oh, verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were written in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. That's an apple of gold. Amen. That's an apple of gold. But you know what else, my friends? Job needed to work on his picture of silver. Because notice verses 21 and 22. Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Earlier in the chapter, know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong. He said, I've been wronged. I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there's no judgment. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my path. He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone, and mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies, speaking out of pure ignorance. Out of what his emotions led him to say at that time, that God is against me. My friends, the man wound up having more light, more knowledge, more strength, more health, more sons, more daughters, more flocks, and more peace at the end of Job than he had at the beginning of Job. Let me tell you something. Our apple of gold needs to be in pictures of silver. And we need to be careful that these precious truths, that we present them in the right way. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was in the city of the Samaritans, and one time he had said that he was going to go to Jerusalem. Well, the Samaritans didn't like that one bit. They didn't like that one bit. And they rejected him because they saw that his face was set to go to Jerusalem. And James and John, the son of Zebedee, said, Lord, shall not we call down fire out of heaven? Now, I'm telling you now, these sons of thunder, boy, these boys meant business. Now, they knew a lot of truth. They'd been living with the Lord. They'd been living with the King. They knew he was worthy to be praised. They knew it was wrong to reject him. They knew that where he went was the right place to go. And these dirty Samaritans didn't realize, Lord, shall we call fire down out of heaven and burn them up, consume them? The Lord said, ye know not what manner of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He didn't come to give a gospel to give people ultimatums. No, my friends, he came to give a gospel to give his quickened children hope, to give them encouragement, to give them assurance, to give them that bread from heaven. That's what his gospel does. And we need to be very careful that in our zeal, we don't try to call down fire out of heaven. Our apple of gold needs to be found in pictures of silver. I close. There's so much more I'd love to say, but there's just not enough time. Over in Philippians chapter 1. I'm fixing to get up on my own toes right now. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He said that gospel is that sweet apple of gold. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see, he had an apple of gold, and he had it framed in a picture of silver. But he didn't stop there. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. These men had an apple of gold, but they were putting it in two different frames. One is sincerely and in love and in affection for the cause of Christ. And some of them had some effect with their apple of gold, but they were preaching Christ out of contention. It means they love to fight and to scrap. They thought they were right, and everybody else was wrong. And they couldn't stand the thought of this taking place and that place. I'm sure they were very envious of Paul. I mean, many of them couldn't stand him. You know, Paul prayed for the Romans. He told them to pray that his offerings that he was taking to Jerusalem might be accepted of them. He knew there were some people that were against him, okay? They didn't want him. They didn't want anything to do with him. And so some of these men, they loved Jesus. They couldn't stand Paul. And maybe they wound up preaching just to say, well, you know what? I think I can make more converts than Paul made. Or maybe people will say he's got a much more polished delivery than Paul does. But you know what Paul said? He said, you know what? As long as Jesus Christ is preached. Let me tell you something, my friends. The Lord can use Balaam's donkey to preach Jesus Christ if he so chooses to. But brother and sister, let me tell you something. I've got an apple of gold. And you know, there may be some brethren out there who have some doctrines, or maybe they teach a certain passage a certain way that I don't agree with. Or maybe they have a little practice that's a little bit different than mine. You know what? I don't want to despise them. I don't want to despise them. I want to take into account with prayer and humility their side. I want to take that into account. But brothers and sisters, if I start getting to the point where I feel like it's my job to rattle sabers and shields all the time, let me tell you something. I'm trying to preach Christ out of contention. And I can't help but think I'll be a lot more successful with that apple of gold if I do it out of love and not out of contention and not out of strife and not out of jealousy. Preacher, jealousy is one of the ugliest entities on the place, this place we call earth. It is ugly. It is rancid. It is not good for the cause of Christ. You know, I've got some, they believe this is appropriate in the church, and they just want to just castigate people who are more conservative than them. And there are some people who are more conservative, and they don't believe this little thing should be in the church. And they just want to castigate these people over here. Brothers and sisters, there comes a time when enough is enough and lines have to be drawn. I understand that. But we cannot ever forget the picture of silver. Because for the cause of the apple of gold, we need to maintain that picture of silver. We need to speak fitly fitting words. They are tight with doctrine and truth, and they are timely when it's right. You know, over in Acts chapter 16, talking about timely, Paul and Silas were singing out of the prison. And there this man came down knowing that all the prisoners were gone, and he went to take his own life. And they told him, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." And this man fell down and said, "What must I do to be saved?" What did those disciples do? Did they say, "Well, first thing I want you to do is learn about predestination and election and this, that, and the other"? That wouldn't have been very timely, would it? What they did say was, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in all thy house." You know, we can expound and explain all the rest later, but my friends, what this world needs is to repent and believe in the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can expound upon it more perfectly, but we need to have more zeal about not being right, but holding forth the apple of gold for a sick, terrible, sin-sick world that we're living in. Let us just have a zeal to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. We can expound the things more perfectly later. Let us let our words be fit. Let us let our words be timely. And our apple of gold be found in the picture of silver. I thank you for your good order intentions. I've stood before you.
Come with that love.